Sometimes, as scripture readings are proclaimed, we may not fully understand because it is a mystery. For example, last Sunday we heard Jesus teach his disciples about the Beatitudes, and one of them was, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land." Now we can reflect upon that verse, and scripture scholars can interpret it for us, but it's still a mystery. As we might define meek, as we might define how would they inherit the land, and so on and so forth. But then at other times, the readings are crystal clear. This evening we heard God speak in the reading from Isaiah, "Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless," and so on. These verses from Isaiah present God's answers to the people when they complained. They were telling God, "We're doing such a good job. We are so good and we are so holy. Don't you notice the good that we're doing? And you're not doing anything for us." In other words, where is God in their misery at that particular time? Now, if we were to go back a few verses in Isaiah before this evening's reading, we would hear people detail their sacrifices and their ascetic practices to get God's attention. Things like putting on sackcloth and ashes to imitate a shroud and having dust of the earth cover them, thereby simulating death. Bowing their heads as a sign of mourning and doing penances that included self-flagellation. They did all of this to prove to God how pious and sincere they were. But God's response was crystal clear in our reading today. Make life better for others, and your life will be better as well. "When you do those things," says the Lord, "you will be healed, and your light will shine, not because of what you've earned, but because of what you have learned." Most simply, this reading tells us that the poor and the needy are the people who can lead us to God and reveal where God is at work in our world. Assisting God's beloved poor and vulnerable is the way to make our lights shine before God and neighbor. The second reading from Paul to the people of Corinth has a bit of that mystery that we spoke about earlier. He said, "I come to you proclaiming the mystery of God, not with astounding words or of wisdom, but with weakness and fear." Now, it's hard to imagine Paul saying something like that because Paul was very intelligent. He was a well-educated man. He graduated from some of the best schools of his day. But he said, "My message relies on the power of the Spirit, so that your faith may rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." So Paul's emphasis was not so much on preaching and proclaiming the mystery, but on leading his people into an experience of the Spirit, like the one that he had undergone in his conversion. And thus he said, "Not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." This reading, I think, challenges all of us if we really think about it. It calls us to examine if we believe, like Paul, that it is the cross, Christ's act of total self-giving, that convinces us and calls us to imitate him. Or if we are more like some of the Corinthians of the time who went along on the Christian ride as long as it didn't get uncomfortable. Paul was shining the light on Christ, not on himself. In the gospel, Jesus continues the Sermon on the Mount. Although many people, as they have studied scripture, they said, well, Jesus is the new Moses. But in this case, as he goes to the mountaintop to preach, as Moses did, he's not acting as a lawgiver. Instead, he's acting as a dispenser of wisdom. Following the Beatitudes that we heard last Sunday, Jesus addresses then his disciples and us And he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus' address to those statements about salt and light to you and to me. And earlier this evening, I brought along, you know, my audiovisual aid because we had no light in the church here for a while. So we know that God did not say, lights, you are the light of the world, but God is saying that we as human beings are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth. In ancient times, salt was a necessity of life, more so than today. Salt, in addition to the attributes that it had, giving flavor, it was a flavor enhancer, but it was also a food preserver. But it was, too, a common metaphor for the word wisdom. And it was one of the most highly prized minerals as well at that time. In many societies, it was so highly valued that it was used for money. In fact, the English word salary is derived from the word salarium, which refers to the payment made to Roman soldiers in the form of salt. Jesus was saying to his disciples and to us today, just as that highly valued mineral, you are highly prized and you are necessary, and you can flavor the world and preserve what is good in it. And then Jesus said, you are the light of the world. This image is even more powerful if it is understood in terms of the biblical context. Light was a common symbol for God's word. In the Psalms we hear, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And we also would read in the Psalms, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So in John's gospel, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light is a form of energy. It's always moving. Light illuminates, it warms, it destroys darkness, it lifts spirits. And we, like mirrors, are called to reflect the light of Jesus. In order to reflect the light of Jesus, we need to position our mirrors to the light, to Jesus. And we do that by studying God's word, by praying, by reflecting upon it, and then, as we heard in the Beatitudes last week, by acting upon it. Today, we heard challenging messages in our readings, and Jesus says, we are the light of the world. Isaiah describes those actions that can help us to be the light in our world, and that is by feeding the hungry, by sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked, and so on and so forth. So yes, we as modern-day disciples still have more work to do. And let us pray for that grace, the grace to see those opportunities to serve and to do the will, so that we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, so that others will be able to taste and to see the goodness of the Lord.